tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Good morning. Welcome along to Tip Today on this Monday morning. And we have another packed show in store for you. Damnation or spirituality? Does God really exist? Are we trundling towards an election? John Lee from the Mail on Sunday will join us. From ballet to blackboard, Ross Grayman's story. Tales from mid-tip in days gone by. And Johnny Luby will join us for his take on the current political impasse. Trudy is by the phones, ready to take your calls on our free phone number. That's 1800-938-007. You can text on 083-311-3311. And we have a lovely competition for you as well, because we're celebrating Pamela Scott's brand new store in Neenah. We have a €50 voucher to give away every single day. All of the daily winners will go into a hat, and that prize will be upgraded to €250 on Friday. So it's a nice prize. And our daily prize is based on your interaction with us by text, joining in the conversations. Excuse me, or indeed coming up with something brand new. So do get texting, give us a full name and an address so that we can enter you properly into our competition. Let's have a look at what's making headlines today. Fianna Fáil insist Francis Fitzgerald needs to resign as part of any deal to avoid a Christmas election. Up to 100,000 people are being urged to flee their homes in Bali as a major volcano threatens to erupt. And 1.2 million social welfare recipients will start getting the Christmas bonus this week, with some payments starting today. But first of all, this morning, we'll look at our faith. Well, kind of. We had a huge reaction last Thursday to Pat Blake, who spoke extensively about faith in the Old Testament, and it certainly got some of our listeners very animated indeed. Let me just give you a small taste of what he said.
A man that once went to Padre Pio, and he said to him that he didn't believe in hell. And Padre Pio's reply was, "You will when you get there." Right. It would be terrible to find yourself in that situation when everything was all over just because you didn't look around and...
Where is the all-loving God then of complete forgiveness?
One of the big things that will come out from the movie is the mercy of God.
Now, that's a little of what Pat had to say to us on the programme on Thursday. Now, Pippa Slattery is a frequent contributor to the programme and indeed is a medium herself. Pippa, good morning to you.
Morning, Fran.
Lovely to talk to you, Pippa. You text me following this and you said you were annoyed, to say the least.
Just a little bit. I was driving along and I thought, I'm going to have to stop and just stop the car and text you. I was getting very annoyed, because it's just a very old-fashioned view of God, and it's keeping everyone in fear rather than in love. And I was just getting very annoyed, which is why I texted you in.
Mm.
Because I don't believe that hell is a specific place. I think hell is more like a state of our soul when we die, a state of our mind or our soul. It's not an actual location. And it's depicted by the church as being a location of fire and brimstone.
And even, Pippa, if it is a state of mind, is it any the less awful?
Well, yes, because I think there is. I mean, the way that Pat was talking was there was no way out once you'd gone to the depths of hell. And if you look at anybody who has a near-death experience, I mean, there's a fantastic book by a guy called Dr. Ivan Alexander, Proof of Heaven, and anyone who has a near-death experience talks about the tunnel of light, but they talk about a life review. And it's when our soul dies and we have this life review, we look back and we remember what we came to do, what our soul's purpose was coming into human form. And it must be hell if we have been murderers and rapists and, you know, led extremely negative, fear-filled lives. The review must be hell itself. But there is atonement for that, as we forgive ourselves. We don't have to be forgiven by a man with a sort of, you know, white cloth around his neck. It's about forgiving ourselves and forgiving those who have perpetrated against us, and then we can come out of that purgatory or hell.
And is there any on. Is there any punishment or retribution, as you might see it, Pippa?
But I think that is the punishment.
The review itself.
The punishment is that life review. And we must get stuck there for a long time. If we've been, you know, people who have literally had very evil lives here, how long their souls stay there, what kind of vibration their soul goes to, I don't know. But they're not going to be in the same vibration or energy as the angels or very angelic people. But it's sort of not a devil with a forked tongue and hellfire and brimstone, I don't believe.
And is that a sort of Buddhist way of looking at things, that you might reincarnate to improve yourself in it? I'm explaining that badly, but you know what I mean, Pippa, that you might gain brownie points along the way. Do you?
I think that this is a school for our soul, and I think at this stage of the evolution of our souls, we get sort of trapped here in a death-rebirth situation until we've learned everything our soul needs to learn, and then we can move on to a sort of higher form of consciousness where we don't need to incarnate into this physical form anymore. But it takes a few lifetimes for our souls to reach that level of energy or vibration.
And did you take anything from what Pat was saying when he spoke about a God who was willing to forgive if we exposed ourselves in some way and said, look, I'm a sinner, I've done this, I acknowledge that I've done this, I will try my best not to have this happen again, and then you get a forgiveness?
Yes, I mean, I think forgiveness is a huge word, but I think whereas we put the responsibility on the church or the man in the confessional box to forgive us, I think the real spirituality and the real depth of our soul comes from when we forgive ourselves and when we forgive others. So it's us doing the forgiving. We're not sort of the Abrahamic traditions, if you like, which are sort of Judaism, Christianity, Islam. God became male and he became off planet somewhere. He became outside of ourselves and he became very judgmental that he, the male, had to forgive us, if you see what I mean. Whereas it's forgiveness inside ourselves. God is within ourselves. Mm. We do the forgiving rather than a man in a wooden box in the dark corner of the church.
My only problem with that to some degree, Pippa, is that, for instance, if I was the perpetrator of genocide and I was the cause of mass amounts of people losing their lives, I might see myself as right. And I would never get to a situation where
forgiveness isn't the same thing as being right or wrong. I mean, there is, if you like, there's good and there's evil, or there's, to me, it would be love and fear in the world. And if we live a life full of fear, our souls are never going to elevate to that place where we're in a higher vibration. Do you know what I mean? It's about forgiveness of our souls. But I think we do go to places of different vibrations. But it's up to us to remember, to awaken. If we've been huge perpetrators of crime, it's for our own soul, our own consciousness, to wake up and go, oh, heaven, literally, have we done?
Do you think it's possible that there's many routes to salvation in some way, or many routes to eternal happiness? Because really, at the end of the day, if Pat follows his beliefs, which is not to do anybody any harm, and a sort of a Christian-like look at his life,
sure,
It'll still get him to the same place.
Yes, there are so many different routes, and I think that's what was annoying me, because he was sort of saying, this is the only way, and if you're not forgiven by the sort of Christian church, by the priest, he did say it at one stage, and I can't remember his actual wording, was there was really no hope for you, and you didn't go anywhere. And it was sort of, that's what was annoying me. He was saying, this is the only way. And I think anyone who lives through love and not through fear is on their route to go onto a sort of internal salvation, or whichever way you want to put it.
Whatever their religious background might be.
Whatever their religious background. And from what I was interpreting, from what he was saying, his was the only way. And that's what was upsetting me. There are so many ways.
What did you think of the intervention of, because we spoke about this to Pat as well, the intervention of the Holy Mother as a mediator? How do you feel about her role, or do you recognise her role?
Absolutely, I recognise her role. To me, obviously, I use very different wording. To me, God isn't male and there isn't a female mother. There is the divine spirit, which is the spiritual terms is the divine feminine and the divine masculine. And to me, the divine feminine, if you want to call her the Holy Mary, whatever name you give that divine feminine, is the creator of this world. The feminine is what creates, the male is what protects us. Mm-hmm. And God, the great spirit, is the culmination of both those energies. That's why I have a problem with God being male and, you know, the sort of...
Yeah, and do you have a problem as well with the notion that the Holy Mother is almost needed to provide some sort of warmth to a decision that the all-male God might be making, if you know what I mean?
Yes, I think it's a balance of those two energies of warmth and love and protection, which is the male. You know, I think that's what's so out of balance in the churches at the moment, that it's very male. And I think that what spiritual people are trying to do is bring up the feminine so it's balanced equally as the male. And absolutely, it's warmth, it's love, it's forgiveness, without a doubt. And we need that feminine. And that's what's lacking in society today, is everything's become very... And I don't mean men and women. I'm talking about the divine masculine and the divine feminine, the two aspects of the Godhead rather than one. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. I see exactly what you're saying. But I'm just wondering how you got to this point. Can I ask you, Pippa, were you brought up as Catholic? Or?
Oh, I was.
Yeah.
I was brought up by Catholic. I was brought up by nuns in the UK. Both my parents were Catholic. And I didn't have an easy time with the Catholic Church. I won't go into it now, but everything that we hear about the perpetrators from the Catholic Church, I was very hurt by it. And so I thought, this is not a place of love. This is a place of abuse. And I started looking for a different way. And when I was in my 20s, I did go down to a Buddhist retreat. So I'm not a Buddhist. I've also trained with Hindu, with Muslim, with Christian, with Buddhist, and with a lot of shamanic people. So I've done a lot of training, and all I'm seeing is that love, you know, I look at love and fear rather than good and evil. And that I found a very direct route back to sort of the divine feminine. I adore Mary Magdalene. I adore, you know, a lot of the Christian story.
Mm. And what is it, Mary Magdalene? Is it for her humanity?
Yes. I mean, I just think that she and Christ are the absolute depiction of the divine masculine and the divine feminine. More so, actually, than sort of our Holy Mother. I really think that the story of Christ and Magdalene is showing us how balanced it can be between the feminine and the masculine. I think she's a beautiful, beautiful person.
You told
me... She certainly wasn't a sinner.
You might have some disagreement about that, but you told me one time, you have no doubts whatsoever, Pippa, about an afterlife.
No doubts whatsoever. No. I'm very peaceful about it. I mean, I've never been frightened of dying. Sometimes I get frightened of hell. I don't really like dying or, you know, don't want to fall out of the sky from an aeroplane, but I have absolutely no fear of going over the other side. It's just, to me, it's just another adventure for my soul. It's just another adventure.
And in terms of you getting annoyed with people like Pat, does that happen to you frequently in terms of what you're hearing?
No, I'm very open to anybody having their faith. And I think what annoyed me on Thursday was and I may be wrong, he may come back online and sort of say that I misheard him or misrepresented him, but I felt he was saying, this is the only way. You know, this Catholic faith, this forgiveness from the confessional box is the only way, and no other soul will get to heaven. And that's where I was getting up.
But of course, I don't have to tell you, Pippa, that if you do accept the whole Catholic story, and if you buy into all of that, that is a part of it, you know, that it's the one true church, it's the one true God.
And, and if you look at all the wars and battles across this planet, it's because every religion feel that they're the only one way. And so there are wars, persecutions, and all the trouble that the world is in. And there are many ways, there are many paths for our spirit to go on. Many, many paths that our spirit can learn from, go from. And it's any religion that says, this is the only way, where I have a real problem.
Pippa,
because immediately it's putting the rest of the world in fear, in a place of no hope.
Pippa, it was lovely to talk to you today, and it's always a pleasure. And thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Bye-bye to you now. That's Pippa Slattery, who took exception to some of what Pat was saying on Thursday.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Talks to revert to Christmas general election will take place between the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar and Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin in Cork today. Now, meetings between both these gentlemen over the weekend have been described as productive but also sensitive, as both sides sticking to their respective lines that the tarnisher must stay or must go. The political editor with the Mail on Sunday is John Lee, and John is online with us. Good morning to you, John.
Morning, Fran.
Where are we, John?
We're publicly, we're at the same place we were, which was Fianna Fáil want Frances Fitzgerald to go, joined by Sinn Féin, who want her to go, and Fine Gael don't want her to go. But behind the scenes, excuse me, I stayed in touch with them over the weekend, even though even I get a Sunday off. There is talk from all sides of progress on a compromise. That compromise, though, seems to involve Frances Fitzgerald staying in her job and the Charlton inquiry dealing with this issue, which is, and whether you want me to go into it for your listeners now straight away again or not, this issue in the Charlton inquiry in January. It would also involve the Minister for Enterprise, former Minister for Justice, Frances Fitzgerald, in the words of a Fine Gael politician, wearing sackcloth and ashes and going into the stall and issuing a grovelling apology. All of which I find strange, and excuse me for being slightly controversial, but I'm starting to wonder what one needs to do in Ireland to lose one's job as a minister. And lots of commentators won't say that, but I cannot see how Frances Fitzgerald's career can go forward from here. Nevertheless, Fine Gael are determined to stand by her.
It's interesting, is it? Talk to me a little bit about the Charlton inquiry, because the Justice did jump into the middle of things over the weekend, didn't he, and say that he is prepared to examine her role in this pretty much immediately.
Well, I think it had been planned that this, some aspects around this were due to be dealt with anyway. But he made it clear that he would deal with it immediately. Fine Gael, you know, do have a defence which has kind of gotten lost in a lot of the high dudgeon that appeared last week, which is that they felt the tribunal was dealing with these issues in general. So, yes, he's willing to deal with that. But again, I go back to the central fact, which has kind of been lost in you know, I'd have to admit, in our paper the weekend, with more revelations about going back to the email. But
yes,
fundamentally, Frances Fitzgerald and the Taoiseach told the Dáil that she had not become aware of the plan to undermine Maurice McCabe at the O'Higgins inquiry until 2016. We now know that does not appear to be the case, that she knew in 2015. That's the central problem. The competence of the Minister of Justice is the central problem. If that can be dealt with and I think it'll only be dealt with because of the morbid fear of a general election before Christmas by politicians, which I think it was your Tipperary TD, Alan Kelly, said on radio that if any politicians have fear of an election, they shouldn't be in Leinster House. And I'm starting to find that a bit strange as well. If an election is needed, so be it, no matter when, what time it is. But there is a serious matter there, and sorry, Fran, just to say, I think I've been slightly unfair to politicians when I say the Christmas issue is the only issue. What politicians across the spectrum will say, their fear of a general election now is that this confidence and supply arrangement had come in, Fianna Fáil supporting the Fine Gael minority, to give us some breathing space, to have a situation where we weren't going to have general elections every 18 months over a period of years, which will cause untold damage to Ireland, I think. That doesn't appear to be the case right now.
Are they overstating it a little, though, that if a general election is called, I mean, people are saying it's going to damage the Brexit negotiations, for instance. Even if a general election is called and Leo Varadkar is representing us there, he still has all the weight of representing Ireland, doesn't he? I mean, nothing is going to change where that is concerned.
I think, as is the case with the media, and I'm part of it, so I'm not being necessarily critical here, and politicians, is that they jump on the immediate. I think if the problem with the general election, of course, the Brexit thing would be slightly affected. One, rarely do we have a central role at these large summits, but in this instance we do, because we're kind of being used upon by large countries. That's another day's work. If you remember back to the last general election, firstly, and I'll try and give you my view of it succinctly, the last general election, we did not come out with a definitive result that allowed a government to be formed. According to the polls and according to all the geniuses in the various parties, there's very little likelihood of a clear government emerging from another general election.
Yes.
Cast your mind back, we pretty much closed government business in December 2015 and didn't have a government operating again till June 2016. A repetition of that event is likely. I worked in Leinster House during that interim period when there was no proper government. You couldn't get money allocated to departments. You couldn't get people appointed to positions. There was an absolute shutdown of 6 months. Now with Brexit, which only appeared around that period, don't forget, June 2016, not only is there that summit, there is the whole issue of Brexit, which might not be dealt with properly for up to 6 months. That is just unconscionable, really. And Fianna Fáil, nor Fine Gael will be thanked for not being able to sort this out over the next 2 days.
It's going to be very interesting indeed. And in terms of paying a price for this, as to who people will believe was responsible, I mean, will it be a mixture of Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil at this point in terms of dragging the people to an election in December?
I might be slightly contradicting what I said, but I would think people won't be welcoming politicians to their doors, but nor would they thank Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael for not being able to continue on in general. But I find, and I've covered a few general elections, that the immediate cause of that general election is pretty quickly forgotten. I mean, if you cast your mind back to 2011, which was the last surprise election, not quite snap, but that was fundamentally caused by Brian Cowan's abortive cabinet reshuffle in Leinster House late one night. That didn't become an issue in the general election. What was an issue was the small matter of a bailout and a financial collapse. So the bigger issues then come into play. And one would think Leo Varadkar, of all people, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, does not want a general election right now because he's had a bad few months, really, when you look back to some of the his statements on homelessness, which he spent a long time explaining. But he also has that fresh new leader image, great ability in social media, and a very good communicator. You never know. Maybe deep down, and this is just me speculating, one or both of those leaders has in the back of his mind that a general election might be a bad thing.
Who I thought looked particularly nervous was when the Alliance came out on the plinth with Shane Ross. And of course, you know, again, if tradition is to be followed, it's always the smaller grouping in a government that gets a bit of a hammering. Is that how you might see it as well in terms of independence losing out very badly?
Well, if you look at polling data for the last 6 months, the general support for independence has been waning. The support for the two larger parties, and again, I don't doubt this plays a role in what's going on at the moment, has been increasing. I think they're up to a combined near 70%, which is the highest since probably around 2007, 2008, in the last decade. So the larger parties, until they got themselves into this fix anyway, had been increasing. They're still around 60%, 55, 60%. So you would feel that independence, not having that protection of a strong party structure, would be in trouble. If you look at the last general election, Mick Wallace, for instance, in Wexford, a substantial amount of his vote fell back. We kind of forget that Finian McGrath, who was a minister in this government, had a long count up in Dublin Bay North. He is one of the Independent Alliance ministers. Shane Ross, because of his success in securing Steppeside Garda station might be okay. John Halligan, for instance, would find it difficult. I suspect, you know, he did okay in the last general, but across the country, Tipperary, for instance, has three independent TDs. Michael Lowry, Matthew McGrath, and Seamus Healy. One of those three, one would expect to face a bit some trouble. Unlikely Michael Lowry, I think. And then there's the other issue at play, which is the redrawing of the of the boundaries, which won't be in effect. Joe Costello, TD, a former TD from Dublin Dublin Central, indicated he's going to take a high court action to prevent a general election being held before those redraws are
introduced. That would certainly have an effect where Alan Kelly is concerned here, with the Lower Ormond still being in the question, you know?
I think we've discussed that a couple of times on the show. Then again, Alan Kelly has played such a prominent role in this whole controversy, and a positive role, I hasten to add, pursuing the government on something that, you know, was a fairly easily solved problem, which was answering his questions, but maybe there was a reason for them not to do it. That will certainly help him go into a general election.
Do you think it will, though? Because I find enormous apathy about all of this among the people that we're speaking to. You know, I mean, they're saying, we don't understand this fully. It's not about homelessness. It's not about jobs. It's not about rural crime. It's not about hospitals. What is it about?
Well, I wrote a piece yesterday, which was carried yesterday. I really think it's about the reemergence or the emergence of something that never went away, which is civil war politics. These two parties just do not get on with each other. They don't like each other personally. They don't trust each other. There's no trust, and that goes back generations. Most Fianna Fáil TDs, most Fine Gael TDs, come from families who can trace their allegiances to those respective parties back to the foundation of the state, and there just is no trust there. This is something that you would have to look at the two leaders. They're both men who are very sure of their abilities, and most leaders are. And I do suspect Fianna Fáil are in a pretty good position if it came to a general election, but one thing they do not want is a Christmas election. And this, you know, we almost joke around about, you know, I say a lot of social media, probably in their own show and elsewhere, that we've joked around about Christmas, but there are a lot of strategic and logistic problems with holding a Christmas election. People are travelling is a big issue. The schools are set aside for plays and faiths. Postage is going to be an issue. The weather, and people wanting to see politicians at their front door. Their mindsets aren't there to be dealing with. And I think I do think the Irish public were disinclined to remember that they do take in all complex issues. I certainly found that covering general elections back to the mid-90s, that they take them in, but whether they're willing to assess those issues in the middle of the Christmas season, which is a more and more stressful season for everyone now, is unlikely. I think deep down, I have felt this whole thing started, that they will try and get it sorted somehow. I don't think it'll be sorted for long, but it might get us over Christmas.
So if you were to call it yay or nay for a Christmas election, John?
I would be surprised if it happened. I really would. That's not to say that, you know, this government, and I've always said it, was always reliant on an accident not happening. This is an accident where people have become very entrenched. If they can find some solution to get them over Christmas, but one really can't see it survive. The government surviving much beyond the middle of next year, that's for sure.
All right, John, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today, John. That's John Lee, who's political editor with the Mail on Sunday.
Making reference to the volcano there in Bali, and she was saying, Fran, do you remember Krakatoa? She said it looks very, very scary, and hopefully she's just concerned about it, you know, in relation to it. And then another, Katrina, said, got in contact to say thanks so much for the voucher that they won for the furniture store in Loughrea. She went there last week. The staff couldn't have been nicer, and she was thrilled with it all.
Good stuff indeed. And I know Katrina is involved with the CJ Kickin Band as well, and she's advising us that there's places there if adults want to take something up as a hobby and musical. There's something for you now, Trudy. What about the I don't know, the flugelhorn maybe, or the tuba? Would you be interested?
Huh?
You don't have to think about that or anything, do you? All right, thanks. That's our Trudy, who might end up taking up a musical instrument. You never know.